This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
We are here today with Dr. Seth Berkley, President, CEO, and founder of the International AIDS Vaccine Initiative, IAVI. IAVI is a not-for-profit organization working to ensure the development of safe, effective, accessible, preventative HIV vaccines for use throughout the world. Dr. Berkley, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I was hoping you could begin by briefly walking us through the past two decades of research and development around an AIDS vaccine. It's been a very complicated venture with many difficulties. So if you could just walk us through this history in terms of the major successes, setbacks, and momentum.
Well, it's interesting. When this disease first appeared, we didn't even know it was a viral infection. Once people figured out it was a viral infection, there were predictions made that we'd have a vaccine in 2 years. And, of course, that has turned out not to be true. We initially started off because hepatitis B had just, a vaccine for that had just appeared, making believe that HIV was like hepatitis B. We took some surface pieces of the virus, we put them into a vaccine, we tried them, and people got a good response to that vaccine. But later on it was learned that they only got protection to the particular strain that was in the vaccine and not to the circulating types, because HIV varies and changes so much. So after that, people said, well, we really don't know how to solve this antibody problem, how to get neutralizing antibodies across all the strains. Then people moved on to cellular immunity, which is a way to control disease but not to keep from getting it. And a whole bunch of vaccines were tested, and at the end, Merck had a candidate vaccine that was moved forward in an efficacy trial, and it did not provide protection. And at the end of that, that really ended kind of the second wave of vaccine development. And we're now in the third wave, where people are beginning to think about going back and really looking at depth about how to get good antibodies and how to get much better measures of cellular immunity. I think what's important to say is that we've learned an enormous amount. The normal process of product development is one of failures all the time. And with each failure, you learn something and you keep going until you come up with a product that works. And it's actually a very exciting time now, because we've got a lot of hints in the science and a lot of new directions that the field is moving.
There's, of course, been a lot of high expectations for an AIDS vaccine because of the potential it has for countering the epidemic. But with that, though, there have also been these major disappointments that you mentioned and skepticism. But advances are being made. So what will be the next major advances in creating this vaccine?
Well, I think really it may sound funny, but the most important advance will be to show in humans protection from an AIDS vaccine. Not perfect protection, but some protection, because that would allow us to go back then and validate the animal models, validate the different assays that have, and then use those to improve the vaccines. What we know about any kind of vaccine production is that it's an iterative process. And so until we show that something works, we're in essence a little bit shooting in the dark. In fact, there's a famous book written about AIDS vaccine called Shots in the Dark. But what we're really trying to do here now is go back to the upstream a little bit and try to understand a little bit more really what it's going to take. And we've learned an enormous amount about AIDS vaccines and, in fact, about the immune system. And we now have more drugs for HIV than all other viruses put together, and a lot of the advances in immunity today that exist for other diseases came from the study of HIV vaccines. So in a sense, it's a really exciting time, but we've got a long way to go.
Earlier today, you mentioned that scientists alone can't solve the problem, which is, of course, true. But since founding IAVI in 1996, how have you seen political commitments and support evolve?
It's interesting, because when this first happened, we had to convince people that AIDS was important and that AIDS in the developing world was important. I think now everybody understands and knows that. But the big challenge is keeping people committed to invest long-term in research. Most people have a very short-term focus, and with something like HIV, where there's a short-term emergency, of course, people, rightfully so, are focusing on dealing with you know, today's issue. And I think the challenge for us is to make sure that people understand we will never end the epidemic without better tools, and therefore, along with our today's effort, we have to have this long-term investment. It's a much, much smaller amount of money, but it's harder to do that. And to do that, we'd like to see political commitment both in the North and South. President Clinton declared this a national goal in the U.S. The Prime Minister of India has done the same. A number of leaders in Africa have stepped forward. But how you keep that energy going over the long term is always a challenge.
Great, great. And lastly, I'm hoping we can shift gears slightly to talk about IAVI as an organization. IAVI differs greatly from other R&D groups, certainly different from the other major players in the field, like the pharmaceutical companies. Could you discuss a bit IAVI's mission and founding principles?
IAVI was set up at a time when it was realized that neither public nor private sectors were investing heavily in AIDS vaccines. The private sector stopped investing because they realized the disease was mostly a disease of the very poor in the developing world. AIDS was controversial. Vaccine industry at the time wasn't a great place to invest. And the science was very difficult. And as a result of that, they pulled back, waiting for somebody to show some promise. The public sector, at the same time, was investing a little bit, but there was a lot of push to have work on drugs to treat people who were infected with a fatal disease and dying, rightfully so. So there was very little interest on either public or private sectors. And our role was to build both advocacy for this, to get people engaged in it, but then also to bring industry expertise to the equation, both from large companies but also small companies, to get them focused on the problems of the developing world, help fund the science, help bridge between different companies, and really try to drive it forward. And since IAVI's formed as a product development public-private partnership, there's been a whole range of other initiatives like this for malaria, for TB, for hookworm, for all kinds of other diseases. And now the pipeline for diagnostics, drugs, and vaccines for the developing world is larger than it's ever been. So it's really a new way to work in a world where we realize neither large companies nor the UN nor governments can alone solve the problems. What we need to do is have new partnerships and ways of working between them.
Dr. Berkley, thank you for joining us today. To hear more from Dr. Berkley and about efforts to create an international AIDS vaccine, you can listen to his entire presentation at CSIS at www.csis.org/globalhealth. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a CSIS Global Health Policy Center podcast at www.smartglobalhealth.org.